quote. In weather today, in New York City, it is 85 degrees, mostly cloudy, with showers forecast overnight. In Washington, D.C., it is 90 degrees and cloudy. Heavy thunderstorms are possible after 4 p.m., and a flood watch is in effect to 11 p.m. From WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin.
The previous program was Leonard Lopate at Large, usually heard Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Minefield. It's 2 p.m. and this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online.
I don't eat no meat, no dairy, no sweets, only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school, my household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu, no fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes.
Hotep, Habarigani, Assalamu Alaikum, what's up? Welcome to Minefield, where we explore explosive issues in black mental health. Today, just like last week, I'm going to be giving away immediate gifts to anybody who will make a sacrifice to WBAI. I won't fix the donation at any particular amount, but if you say it's a sacrifice, I will take your word for it. Even if I see you wearing $300 Jordans and driving a Lexus and carrying a i22 computer phone, if you say you're poor and can only give big money to your car, your computer, your sneakers, and your drugs, whatever, just give something to WBAI and I will accept it as a sacrifice and personally send you 33 Amos Wilson speeches, links to 33 Amos Wilson speeches. I updated these yesterday, so they have not been removed, as many of his links have. This is not a premium. You won't have to call in and talk to somebody from Maggie's Farm for 15 minutes of registration. You won't have to wait for 6 months to get your gift. I will get those 33 links to you today, before 5 p.m. Also, if you give $100, I will throw in the gifts from last week, which was 44 links to John Henry Clark speeches and a PDF copy of the 2008 tribute journal to John Henry Clark, featuring articles by John Henry Clark, Marimba Ani, and so many other scholars, and a PowerPoint called 12 Things You Should Know About John Henry Clark. This is Dr. James McIntosh. Dr. Richardina is busy today. I'm by myself, but I have a guest. Our topic is good health means stopping the violence. Is that true? Well, last weekend, 55 people were shot in Chicago. 8 of them died. On the weekend preceding July 23rd, 64 were shot in Chicago on a weekend. Also, every year, approximately 4,500 women are killed by their partners in the United States. Violence is rampant against black men, black women, and against black children. Am I speaking rhetorically? No, no, no. The CDC also reports that right now, homicide is the number one killer of black male teenagers. Homicide is, as I said, killing our men, women, and children. So yes, for us, good health may have to begin with stopping the violence, and certainly with stopping the self-violence. Today, we're going to be talking to Brother Bashir Akinyele, a career educator, a high school teacher, and a longtime anti-violence activist from Newark. Greetings, Brother Akinyele.
Otep, peace. It's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you, Brother. It's mutual, yes. So would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you came to be involved in anti-violence work?
Cool. again, peace, Hotep. My name is Brother Bashir Muhammad Patah Akinyele. That is my full name. I got involved in the anti-violence movement way back in the early 2000s with the two organizations, actually. One was called the Estes County Anti-Violence Coalition, which was created by a street doctor who is now an ancestor. Earl Best is his name, but in the city of Newark, he's known as the street doctor. He came home from prison. He spent a number of years locked up in prison for bank robberies, but you know, he had had an awakening in prison. And when he came out, he committed his life to helping to, you know, empower the Black community. He said that he helped contribute to the destruction of it. Now he was going to help rebuild it. And one of the things he wanted to address was the violence, was senseless community violence raging in the city of Newark at the time, in the early 2000s. And so I joined up with the brother under his leadership and the organization he created called the Estes County Anti-Violence Coalition. And then the new Black Panther Party's Newark chapter initiated something called the Stop the Self-Genocide Campaign. And I worked with the Stop the Self-Genocide Campaign to stop the violence in Newark. So that's how I initially got involved, because many of my friends and relatives were being murdered in the city of Newark. And so that's how I got involved with that. But some years later, around 2009, Mayor Baraka, well, back in 2009, he was a community activist, and he initiated something called the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition. And he had been doing anti-violence work for a number of years himself, you know, family, friends, or victims of senseless community violence. And so in 2009, he had enough. He said, we're going to start the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition, which shut down traffic, went into intersections, completely shutting down traffic to bring attention to the issue of senseless community violence. And so I became one of the co-founders of the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition. And I joined up with the mayor at the time. Again, he was a community activist. I joined up with Brother Baraka because I had lost many, many students to violence in the city of Newark.
What do you mean many students?
Oh, man, I'm talking about over, at 2009, I probably lost about maybe over 30 students to violence in the city of Newark. And so I
saw a recent number of that you lost over 46 students to violence.
Right. As time went on, because we did the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition for about 5 straight years in the streets. That's 155 straight weeks. Literally every Wednesday, we would go into the intersection of Newark where there was a shooting or a murder and shut down traffic to bring attention to the issue of violence in the city of Newark. So as time went on, I began to lose more students. After 5 years, I lost, I think the number went up to about 46. I lost about 46 students to violence, but I just many, many students. And so I had to get involved with the Newark Anti-Violence Coalition because I got tired. I got tired of losing students to the streets.
Mm-hmm. So you had a recent demonstration. You have one coming up, right?
Right. We have one on South 20th Street and Springfield Avenue. Well, let me back up. For the past 3 weeks, we community activists have been working with the city to go into the streets and organize marches and peace walks to make the community aware that violence is not going to be tolerated in our city. And number two, that we have resources that the community can tie into, right, to address issues centering around violence.
Okay, so that leads me really into my next question. What kind of, you know, a march, how is that going to stop it, people would say? And then, so, but you said that you have some program. Tell us about the programs you have to actually stop the violence, because this is a health issue. This is the number one cause of death in Black males in this country, according to the CDC.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when Mayor Baraka, Brother Raz J. Baraka, when he became the mayor, he committed himself to dealing with violence as a public health issue. And so he created the Office of Violence Prevention and Trauma Recovery, right? And he provided resources to the office. And the office is made up of an ecosystem of anti-violence organizations. You have the Newark Community Street Team. You have the Newark Street Academy. The Newark Street Academy is an alternative ed program for students and young adults who, you know, dropped out of school, whatever reason it was, they dropped out of school, but they can come back, right? they can come back to school and get a diploma, because we, you know, he and many of us understand that what contributes to census community violence is, you know, the lack of skills, lack of education. So he helped create the Newark Street Academy, right? And we have New Direction. We have the Brick City Peace Collective. These are all anti-violence groups working independently of each other. And the Hub, I forgot to mention the Hub Institute. They're working independently of it, but they're also working collectively together to provide all kinds of intervention and prevention strategies, programs, right, to curtail violence in the city of Newark.
And I visited a group called Man Up, and they had prevention really starting with, like after school programs and that sort of thing. They also had some strategies, like when somebody would get shot, they'd go to the emergency room because they know that that's where the family members are going to visit, and that it's out of that family that retaliation and those kinds of things were going to take place.
We're doing the exact same thing in Newark. The exact same thing in Newark. We're going when someone is shot. We have peace workers, social workers that go into the hospital and support that family and try to come up with a strategy to prevent any retaliation that may possibly occur due to a shooting or a murder. So we're doing the same thing like New York City is doing. We're doing the same thing in Newark, New Jersey.
This is WBAI 99.5 FM radio and WBAI.org. You're listening to Mindfield. Let's return to our interview with Bashir Patah Muhammad Akinyele. Okay, so the thing is that despite all of that, you still keep getting students murdered. You still see this. When I look at the TV, when I look at the movies, when I listen to music, even when I look at the news locally, nationally, and internationally, Ukraine, Congo, Syria, I see violence. Anti-violence efforts the equivalent of like overeating and then drinking a diet soda in an effort to lose weight? Is this like bulimia, you know, stuff yourself with violence and try to throw up? Mm-hmm. Are we spinning our wheels? I mean, what, you know?
Well, the thing is this, unfortunately, right? Let me put it this way. Western civilization has a long history of violence. And so when Black people were captured and placed in slavery, right? It was backed up with what? Violence, right?
Yes.
Even segregation in America, when we did get some degree of freedom, unfortunately, white racists, white supremacists, you know, segregated the society, right?
They enforced it with violence.
Right. They put white people on one side, black people on another side, and enforced it, right? Enforced it or reinforced segregation with violence, right?
Yes.
So we're mimicking the violent culture of Western civilization.
They call it identification with the aggressor. It's a defense mechanism. But now let me ask you this. Yeah. What about, you know, I got you this Violent Society, but what the children are being fed, you know, like in terms of their music, their movies, the TV, is there any hope to reduce the violence when young people are getting a steady diet of violence? I mean, they have headphones on from when they're little children. They see 100,000 murders before they finish, you know, elementary school. There's all kinds of statistics like that. Is this a losing battle, or is there something that can, I mean, you know, can anything be done if you don't address the stuff that's going in?
Yeah. You know, the struggle to end the violence is a protracted struggle. It's a long struggle. All right. The alternatives to it is in Newark, we have about teaching the knowledge of self, teaching our history, our culture, because in it, it has value, right? It teaches us self. It gives us self-esteem. It gives us direction, gives us purpose in life, right? So part of Mayor Baraka's ecosystem of anti-violence group is a strong emphasis on teaching the knowledge of self, right?
Yes.
And so we have to continue to pump that, right? Yes, you know, American society, Western society is going to continue to pump violent rap lyrics. They're going to continue to pump violent videos, but we have to counter that. We have to continuously counter that with our history and our culture, right?
Yes.
And so that's the struggle. That's the struggle, Dr. McIntosh, you know?
Okay.
We're going to keep on doing that in Newark. And I know that in other parts of the country, there are people doing it as well, teaching, constantly teaching the knowledge of self, giving you know, a strong dosage to our people, our history, and our culture.
I've seen you doing it. Now, there's a group called Clear the Airwaves out in the Midwest.
Yes.
Do you hook up with them, or do you have any kind of a similar effort? They're trying to stop this murderous, and not the murderous music is not only being listened to, it's getting awards.
Yeah,
I mean, they gave a Grammy, I guess. guess, to a song that was talking about, mm-hmm. it was talking about shooting a black person. You know what
right,
I mean? They identified
him. Yeah, there's a form of rap music called drill music, right? Yeah. It comes out of Chicago. It was created in Chicago. One of the rap artists that popularized drill music was Chief Keef, right? Mm-hmm. And the dude that actually produced the music, it's funny, I was watching a documentary about it. He had no idea what drill music was. They just came to him about making beats, and he made beats. Right? Yes. But these young cats came with, you know, with the violent lyrics, you know, and it spread from Chicago all the way to Jersey, New York. It is probably the most popular form of rap music right now. Okay. Drums, very violent. Yes. And some of these groups, some of these people are getting awards mm-hmm. because, again, that's American culture. American culture is about violence. I think our brother, Imam Jamil Alameen, H. Fry Brown, remember he had that quote?
Cherry pie.
Violence. Yeah, exactly. Violence is like.
As American as cherry pie.
As American as cherry pie, right. So, you know, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people reflect this culture of violence in America. You see it in rap, like I said, rap music. You see it in the videos, all right? But again, we have to counter that by teaching our history and our culture to our people. I mean, it's a long struggle because it's, like you said, they're being fed that every single day. You know, they got their little AirPods.
Earplugs, yeah. Yep.
Right. Plugged into, you know, a song that's talking about killing somebody, a black person. And so I admire, respect the brothers and sisters out of Chicago. I met the brother. I can't think of his name right
Quabina,
now.
Brother Quabina. Quabina. And there's another brother.
I met him through Bob Law, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, I met him through Bob Law because Bob Law, they work with Bob Law to clear the airways of violent lyrics that's being promoted. Now check this out, being promoted by white radio companies, all right?
Big companies.
And, yes.
Big companies and big sponsors. They had an issue with McDonald's out there because they were picketing McDonald's because of McDonald's sponsoring, a station that was playing this stuff. Now, I wanted to ask you about like a comprehensive plan to stop, you know, the violence in our community. But, you know, I'd like for our audience to be able to ask you some questions. We're going to end this right here. I thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to open up the phone lines. People that want to talk to Brother Bashir, call 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. So we're going to be right back after a musical interlude.
Sometimes you can lose something you don't believe you can lose. You can lose WBAI if you don't support it with a tax-exempt donation for any amount you can afford. Donate now online at give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. Or by calling 212-209-2950.
It's late at night and we're asleep, my love and I had this little fight. Now sugar plums all sweet and groovy. Reach out my hand and find that I am all can't understand. Where's my baby? God, I must be dreaming.
Okay, we're back from our musical interlude. That was Richie Havens singing in a mode most people are not used to. It's based on a composition by Bill Evans. It's called Sugar Plums. I'm here with Brother Bashir Akinyele, and our topic is Stop the Violence. To speak to us, call 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Caller, you're on the air. This is Mindfield. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Calling from New Jersey, Brother Johnson calling. I'm calling because the issue, you know, of violence obviously has many causes. But some of the causes I think we're able to control, of course, you know, are diet for our children. Okay. But the fact that many of our children, a good percentage, probably better than 50% of our children, are on pharmaceutical drugs, often put on pharmaceutical drugs by the school system. You know, and they get put on the Adderall and the Ritalin, Vivaxin, and all these things. And then they graduate to the Zoloft, the Abilify's, and all of the rest. You know, and these drugs are causing uncontrollable compulsive behavior. Okay. That that involves them being able to blow away their best friend or care of family members and the like. I've not heard anybody talk about this. I think this needs to, you know, be a part of the strategy to end the violence in our community, because the violence, okay, is being subsidized, unfortunately, okay, by Social Security, you know, disability benefits. So I'd like to hear your response, Brother Bashir, okay, and of course, Brother McIntosh, you know, about this as a possible, okay, tool, okay, in the toolbox to end this violence.
Yes. Hotep family, Hotep. I'm honored to be on this radio program with our great, great esteemed co-host, Dr. McIntosh, Dr. James McIntosh. All right, Hotep, peace family. But yeah, the conditions that are creating violence in our community stems from, you know, chemical warfare that's been declared on Black people, right? Pumping drugs in our community, no doubt. But we also have other issues that are contributing to the violence: poverty, joblessness, right? The breakup, the destruction of our families by the system, you know, by the power structure, right? The miseducation that goes on every single day in our schools, every single day, our people are miseducated about our history and our culture, right? Even though they can speak well, they can write well, they can do mathematics. However, the schools that they attend, charter and public, right, do not adequately teach the knowledge of self, right? Our history and our culture, right? I'm talking about the history and our culture before slavery, right? That we contributed greatly to the development of civilization, right? I'm talking about going all the way back to Kemet, Egypt, Nile Valley civilizations on to the present, right? They don't teach these things, right? So all of these conditions are creating senseless community violence in our community. And it goes more, it goes on. I mean, the high incarceration rates of Black men, and now the high incarceration rates of Black women. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I'm sorry for interrupting Dr. McIntosh.
No, you didn't interrupt, brother. He asked you the question. You answered the questions. You know, I think that the brother has a point, because a lot of our youngsters get taken out of their households and put into places where, in order to control them, they're given pharmaceutical agents. And those pharmaceutical agents, generally, if they work on the brain, they generally don't really help the brain in the long run. And then also, of course, in our communities, we have substances that are being sold, and people are being told that they're not harmful, so on and so forth. I'm going to tell you, I bet you you'd be hard pressed to find anybody who has worked in mental health for a long time that's going to tell you that these drugs that they're now legalizing and allowing people to use are going to be good for their brains. Your brain is really in a perfect balance already. It functions a marvelous, unbelievable, it's a miraculous tool. And you shouldn't be trying to alter it, because when you try to alter it, in general, you don't do as well as the Creator did when He made it. So it's multifactorial, as Brother Akinyele said. Listen, we want you to call in and talk to us. So we still have a minute or two. The number to call us is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. There doesn't seem to anybody waiting on the line now. So now, last week, a number of you took me up on the offer to send the John Henry Clark links. I know you want to see those Amos Wilson links. I have 33 live links. These are updated. These aren't links that I've sent before. I will email them or text them to you, whatever you want. Just pledge some money to WBAI. I'm not saying how much, it could be anything, but if you pledge over $100, I'll throw in, along with the 33 links to Amos Wilson speeches, 44 links to John Henry Clark and a PDF of the 2008 John Henry Clark Tribute Journal with articles by Professor Clark, Marimba Ani, Adelaide Sanford, Brother Shep, Betty Dobson, many others. If you want, you don't have to wait for those gifts all day. You don't have to wait for a couple of weeks. You don't have to talk to somebody. You'll get them today. I'll send them via email. I'm serious. Today, just make a pledge. Become a member. Make a one-time donation. Anything. And the gifts will come. Make it in the name of the Mindfield. If you donated and got those gifts last week, call in and tell the listeners what they're like. Did you ever hear Amos Wilson talk about black male-female relationships? You should hear this. Call 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. I know people in New Jersey know Brother Akinyele, and I know that you don't have a solution to violence. This is a man who's been working in this field for decades, so you should want to hear what he has to say. I mean, if somebody is 1 minute older than you in African culture, you know, you have to listen to them because they might have heard something that minute that you had missed. At any rate, we are out of time. It's 2:24. So I'm going to ask Olita Adams and Al Jarreau to take us out of here with a little help from Carlos Jobim and, of course, Engineer Reggie. See you next week in the Mindfield.
Just heard us on the Mindfield on WBAI 99.5 FM. If you like us, our topics, our guests, our music, or you just like the station, please donate by calling 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950, or by going online at give2wbai.org. That's give, the number 2, WBAI.org.
A snake, a stick, it is John Show. It's a thorn in your hand, and a cut on your toe. A point, a grain, a bead, a bite, a ring, a buzzard, a sudden stroke of night, a pin, a needle, a sting, a pain, a snail,
a riddle,
a wasp,
or a stain.
A pass in the mountains,
a horse in the moon,
in the distance the shell.
Hello, I'm Max Mead, staff representative to WBAI's local station board, inviting you to the next OSB meeting, Wednesday, August 10th at 7 p.m. The meeting, accessible to the public, includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacific calendar at kpftx.org. And on the WBAI website, you can also access the meeting by calling 929-205-6099. That's 929-205-6099. And enter this meeting ID, 922-457-2995. Once again, 922-457-2995. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency. So it's 995.995.99. The password again, 995.995.99. In these difficult times, the Pacifica Network is struggling financially, so the LSB is working to have WBAI distinguish itself by doing everything necessary to be financially strong. That means increasing listenership, membership, and particularly listener contributions. You have to contribute to WBAI to access the meeting? No, but we sure hope that you do. Please go to WBAI.org or call our pledge line at 212-209-2950 to donate and help strengthen WBAI.
Here is Alexandra Tolstoy reading the first page of her father's novel from the original text.
Eh bien, mon prince.
This is Carolyn Goodman, chairman of the board of WBAI, and I'm going to start this reading of Tolstoy's War and Peace.
This is Joseph Heller reading pages 149 to 160. In October 1805, Russian troops were occupying the towns and villages of the Archduchy of Austria and fresh regiments continue to arrive from Russia.
Tune in for a full archival reading of Leo Tolstoy's War and Peace on Radio Unnameable. That's Thursdays at midnight.
My name is Dustin Hoffman, and I'm reading Book 1, Part 1 of Mel Brooks' translation of War and Peace.
That's a full and reading of War and Peace on Bob Fass's Radio Unnameable, Thursdays at midnight, right here on listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
After the burning of Smolensk, there began a war which in no way resembled traditional warfare.